Okay, again, it's on page Sadi Beis. Page Sadi Beis, Simen Yud Gimel. We are in the middle of Seif Katan Aleph. We're up to Dalid. Dalid on the bottom in the Sha'odim Mitzvah Mahalacha. There's a very common question. Are you allowed to plant a tree outside in the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses? It says in the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Sita Lucha Asherah Kol Eitz Eitzel Nizbach Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk says that you're not allowed to plant a tree. A tree may not be planted anywhere near the Mizbeach, which basically means anywhere on the Har Habayis. It's interpreted to mean the entire Har Habayis may not have trees. Now, there are trees there today. We didn't plant them. They just grew there. Arabs planted them. In fact, the place where, Mamish, where many people believe is the Mokum of the Beis HaMikdash itself, there are trees. There's like a garden in that area. But you're not allowed to plant a tree in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So the shayla is, since a shul is a mikdash me'at, every Beis HaKnesses, are you allowed to plant trees and have a garden in the front of a modern-day Beis HaKnesses? A tough shayla. So you think, of course, yes, right? Why not? It's not really a mispech, a shma'at. It's not so simple. The minhag olam is to be very lenient. But it's not so simple. What?
Usually it's the city that plants the tree.
No, but let's not talk about, let's talk about that. Who owns that? That's, let's talk about a front lawn. Let's talk about Yavashul. Not talking about on the front, the front of the sidewalk. Talk about on the lawn itself. On the lawn itself, right in front of the shul, as you come in, is it proper to put there a bush, to plant a bush, a tree?
Trees or bushes?
Bushes. Are you allowed? So a bush also is a sneh. It's also called a tree in halacha, bush. It's not, okay, so here, let's see what it says. Ayin ba'gosh v'kivego, v'shal shubis maharam shik, sheyesh isur nitias ilonos b'chotzer beis haknesses. Fascinating. He holds it, you're not allowed to. If you have a Beis HaKnesses, you have a courtyard, you have a garden, not from the city. The city does it because they're planting trees all over the place now. They claim it's very healthy, oxygen, and it's very good for water to, when it rains, to absorb rainwater. It's very important to and the oxygen. But let's not talk about that on the curbside. Let's talk about in the garden, the kotzer, where the city is not planting trees. Is it proper to put there a tree? So it says here, Nitias ilanas b'chotzer beis haknesses. So b'shal shuvas b'nitzim kasav shloimotz isur nitias ilan tzemel pesach beis haknesses. There is no prohibition. T'chein kasav shuvas marasham demutur lasos gan samach beis haknesses the isur loisita luchasher hu rak the beis hamikdash, the real deal. K'mashu kasav harambam b'shal shuvas marasham kasav demokum shenoygim ha'akum lasos kain beis tefilasam. There is one other condition, that if it's a kasav where you have competition between the church and the Beis HaKnesses, which Baruch Hashem, I don't think we have today, such in, at least in Brooklyn, we don't have this type of problem, but it used to be very common, especially in Europe, that there was fierce competition between the shuls, everyone was watching the difference between the shul and the church. Oz im ein hoilonos netuim kifi shenoit im heim yesh lohokel etzachil Hashem. Because they say that it's not as beautiful. So it's a fascinating thing that you don't want it to be a zilzal that our shuls are not up, they're not as beautiful, they're not built with the same standards of the times as the churches. It would then be a chil Hashem. That's how it's perceived. You have to put yourself in a different time period, a different mindset to understand what that's all about. Then it would be, then the overriding factor is the chil Hashem and his room to be lenient, and you're allowed to plant a garden and a tree in front of a shul to beautify the Beis HaKnesses. However, it's not so simple as we just said before, according to some opinions. Okay, he comes out, you can be matir. Ella im ma'arin toiv, people complain, toiv l'hisyayitz b'rov godol. Go to a big rabbi, go to the chief rabbi, and discuss the union. It basically borders on the issue of, is a mikdash me'at, Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at. To what degree do we extend the prohibition of Lo Sita Lecha Eitz Asherah V'chol Eitz? Eitzel Mizbach Hashem Elokecha. Me'ikar Hadin is no such thing. Mitzat Sheni, there is such a thing. So what do we do? The Minhag Olam is, I think, in Flatbush there's no such thing. Every shul, I don't think you have a problem. A shul has a tree in front of, on the front lawn.
Rabbi Lenda's shul
before. It was in the shul itself. A fruit tree. That was a temporary location due to a fire. The shul burned down, Nebuch, so they had no choice. They were in the shul. So they built a temporary structure, they got a permit, they closed they closed the sidewalk. They took over the sidewalk, Gezel Rabin. They had a permit to do this, and it was there for a long time, many years. And it was a fruit tree, and they're very mocked not to cut down a fruit tree. Good for them, you know, that's a very, very big problem. Cutting down a fruit tree, what do you do? You want to build a sukkah, you want to have a fruit tree, let's say mitzvah, the fruit tree is today, now in our neighborhood, they don't have any real value. There are different head-to-head, you go and you sell it to a guy, you sell the fruit tree to a guy. The tree to a guy, and you have a guy cut it down. But still, not everyone is so excited about that. There are all different stories from Gedolim, where they bought a house, they wanted to do construction, and there was a fruit tree in the backyard. What do? It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. There are kulis, there are heterim, but it's a real, real big problem. I know, we have our backyard, we had a berry tree. It was always a nightmare what to do with the tree. Until one day, the neighbor came along without even telling us. He cut down the tree. They're Jewish, not religious, not all religious. So they cut it out, so they got rid of that. It's like, okay, very good. After all those years, all of a sudden, they're on their own because it was bothering them. These berries that made such a mess. So they cut down the whole tree without... Well, it's not clear whose
side was the tree.
It's not clear.
Maybe they cut down
the tree. It grows in the fence. There's a fence. And the tree grows literally in the fence itself. In the fence itself. It damages. I don't know. So it's very complicated. I don't know. Never Mavar who owns the tree, but they cut it down. Okay, so very good. They cut it down, but they're Jewish. They're not allowed to cut it down either. They're not asking any shilas. They're not religious. And then on the other side, we have an apple tree, which is a big mess. It destroys the garage. I don't know. What do you do? They're not edible. So that's a heter. It's not edible. Maybe they really are. If you're on a desert island, they wouldn't be edible. Edible is all relative to what your situation is. So... I don't know. It's a very big nightmare. But here he talks. But when it comes to, we're not talking about a fruit tree. We're talking over here about even an ilan srak, a tree that does not produce fruit. When it comes to a sakneses, what do you do? The answer is, he says here, there are two different opinions. Many people nikar hadin yemekel. That appears to be nikar hadin. Period. Okay, let's go further. Next time you pass a shul, take a close look if there are any trees in the garden of the front of the shul. Eitzel, what?
My shul, the city planted.
The city planted.
It's an $18,000 garden they made.
$18,000?
Now, for beautiful flowers and a little garden, a couple of bushes. It's
in front of the shul.
The senior center is not owned by Jews. Uh-huh. Or whatever, but they did it outside in the lawn.
Near the shul. Okay. It says city be makeup. Next, lechadam hey, halachay lechadam l'rav sabbat is a mitzvah to sweep and to sprinkle water to settle the dust. Uvebeis sakneh shekosev al hakasolin. Now he writes about a shiloh. What about putting up moedim d'rabanan? Sukkim, moedim d'rabanan and brich shmei. Uvebeis sakneh says shekosev al hakasolin mizmoirim upsukkim. Uvebeim shem osher nimchakim. You have shem osher nimchakim, which you're not allowed to erase. Vuhushcharu hakasolin machmas yosh. So here now, not dealing only with a poster. We're dealing here with the actual mural. They actually wrote on the wall of the Beis HaKnesses Psukim. And then it gets old, it gets worn out. What do you do? It's a very big problem. So today, no one does this today. Now you want to renew the mural. You want to repaint it. So what do? You're going to end up erasing by painting. Someone wrote this Pasuk on the wall, and now the wall is needs to be redone. Ayin b'shailus ha'tshuvus mahari asad. He took each shame, Hashem, he covered it with he covered it with a garment and he painted on top of it. So in other words, what they did was they wanted to paint the wall.
It was just covered
and painted on top. So that's not really called a race. Really? That's a Rebbe Chishon Halacha. That's not called a race. You take a piece of masking tape and you put it on top of the Shem Hashem and then you paint over that and you plaster on top of it. What? That's what it says. That's what he did. Here you have a heter, you have such a solution. The ayin maharash. Lumarenu mahar mahad shul. I don't know who this is. Mahad mishul. I have no idea what this is. Don't actually take the paint and paint on top of the Shem Hashem. Put a lot of paint on top of the Shem Hashem. Right? You have a wall and you have a posse and you got to paint because it's just not nice. So put a lot of paint on top and then the paint will drip down. So you have indirectly caused the Shem Hashem to be erased. That's what he says you shall do. We won't talk about those words. So what do? You do a ma'is in a place that's mundane. The zov, you put a lot of paint. The zov. The shame that's written through tseva. It's not written on klav. He's saying a very big chiddush. When you write a shame Hashem on tseva with paint, not with dioy on klav, erasing such a shame Hashem, fascinating, is not the iser deraisa of mechikas Hashem. There's no issa deraisa mechikas Hashem is only when the Shem Hashem is written on parchment with dioy black ink. But if it's written with paint, or for that matter, you would say the same when it comes issa midrabanan. And the mele, when you do it through a groma by putting ink in another place and it just falls down by itself, it's what you're ayin shav. The ayin mechas pitim shaloi hitur gam begrom. He disagrees. Gulchem choysol shayu nichtav alav aleim l'shbeach la'adon hakol. It says he has a ma'is ha-shahaya, where there was a wall, and they wrote on the wall, Aleinu la'adoin ha-kol, and it seemingly it said Hashem's name, or maybe it said la'adoin. Adoin means Hashem's name, Adoin means is Kodesh, the master of ha-kol, that's God, right? That's Hashem. So that has certain degree of Kedusha. He did davka al-yidei nochri. Kevon to Adoin hu ra kinu, so it's a combination of two different. A combination. What's the combination? Since Odoin is not Yudkei Vavkei, so it's not necessarily from the Shemus Hanim Chokim, and it was a Goy that did it, so male it's going to be Mutter. The Ayin Mishel Shuvus Shalom Eshev, the Im Mitzayrim Bebez Haknesses, because some Shem Psukim in the Shemus, also Lazar Ze Ayide Akum, he holds that you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to have a Goy write the Psukim through a Goy. The Mitzrayim is like this. If you write Pesukim with Shemos, it's also to do this. To Lechatili, you should not do this. V'shas Shuvus Nahari Afar Simon Helo Shom Lahatir Shanochri Yachkoi Hashem Oy BeOisios Boltois Al HaOron Hakodesh Lenoi. It is Mutter. A Goy is allowed to do it. V'ayim V'shas Shuvus Noida BeYehuda. No, we're saying that a Jew shouldn't do it. That if you want to go write Hashem's name on the wall so by a Jew doing it, it appears to be you're writing Hashem's name Levatola. I'm not sure what this means.
No, it sounds like the letters are sticking out.
He could embossed.
We're saying only through a guy, why not through a Jew?
He could carve out the blank space.
I don't know. Let's see. The one more time. The imitzam besak if you're designing, if you're beautifying the besak neses, the koyisim shom psukim im shemos also lasoy ze al yidei akum. A goy should not do this. So who should do it? A Jew? It seems like a Jew should do it. That's what it seems. A goy should not write Hashem's name. If you're going to do it, even though it's not a good thing to do, as we mentioned above, if you are going to do it, it seems to be saying that it should not be done by a goy. A Jew should be the artist. Because you don't want a goy playing around with Hashem's name. That's what it seems to be saying. if I'm not mistaken. So, who's going to put up a shvis Hashem later? Let the Jew do it. But if Shail Shuvis Nahari Afar Simon Hello Shom Lahat, no. If a guy is the artist, so let the guy do it. Shail Shom Lahat Shanachu Yachkoik Hashem, he should not write it. But if the guy is etching, the guy is not actually doing a Maisa Kesiva, but he's doing a Maisa Chakika, that's not called Kesiva, that is not as bad. And then a guy, L'chatchila, a guy can do it, you can let the guy make these designs for the shul, either he's going to etch, or he's going to cause it to be embossed. Al Arna Kodesh Tonoi, a guy can do that, but if it's being written, it should only be written by a Jew. I am a shul, 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 and from the way it says over here, it seems like it's mutter. If you go to Rabbi Weinfeld Shul across the street on 21st Street, they have their very on the Amud. They have their very nice. They have their on the Amud Shvisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. It's like it's actual letters. It's not just written. It's not just written. It's like real. It's three dimensional letters. It's three dimensional letters that are pasted on, or could be seen. I don't remember. It could be even like just suspended, like, you know, just three real three dimensional letters on a stand. So I always wondered, is that proper? Because, you know, it's a shame Hashem is exposed. And in fact, I always found it very, I don't know, strange or interesting that in Rabbi Wolfson's Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash in Borough Park, it's a very, very big shul in Borough Park on 16th Avenue and 43rd Street called Emunas Yisrael. And there they have a beautiful Aron Kodesh. And on the Aron Kodesh they have very big letters, Vahashem Beheichal Kodesho. Instead of it saying every shul has their own little, what do you want to write? Shvisa Hashem Negdi Tamid, or you have Rabbi Kahn's shul, it says Ma Toivu Alecha Yaakov. What does it say there in his shul? It says Ma Toivu Alecha Yaakov. Maybe it says I don't remember. Every shul you find something different. Whatever, it's most shuls have Shvisa Hashem Negdi Tamid, but there it says VaHashem BeHeichal Kodesho, and there it says Vav Dalit. It's three-dimensional, massively large, three-dimensional letters, and there he did not allow them to actually put the three-dimensional letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It does not say Vahashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It says Vav. I don't remember if it says a hey with a strechel, or is even a Dalit. Could be even a Dalit. Even that far he went. Vahashem Beheichal Kodesho. But yet, in most shuls, that's not the way it is. In most shuls, they have no problem actually writing Yud Kei Vav Kei. Shivisi, so some will have maybe a hey with a strechel. Some have Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a chiddush. And in a Weinfeld shul, they actually have it very prominent. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, three dimensional letters. So you see over here, the only issue that they have in this issue is erasing it. Is if you have it painted on the wall and now it comes time to erase it, what are you going to do? How are you going to erase it? Should you do it through a grama? Should you not erase it? Should a guy erase it? If it's not mamashit kivavki, it's adonakol. And then he talks about when you want to write the psukim, so should a guy write it? A guy should not write it, but if you're having it etched or embossed, then a guy can do it. But it doesn't appear that there's really any prohibition of actually having yudke vavki appear out in the open. It does not appear that in a Beis HaKnesses it is a zilzul for Hashem's name. On the other hand, I'll go show you the shul in Borough Park where obviously Rabbi Wolfson, I'm assuming he was the one who made those decisions, held that it was a zilzul that Hashem's name should be exposed to such a degree. And we have a sitter, right? You open up the sitter, Hashem's name is all over the place, but that's only when you don't. When you close the sitter, you close it. It's very interesting that years ago, until Archical came along, every sitter never had Hashem's name. Every sitter had, for what is Hashem's name, two yuds. And the two yuds, everyone knows the two yuds, because the Hashem's like Hashem Nichra Ni Nikra. We spell Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So there are two yuds. The first yud is the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the second yud is the last yud of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So two yuds represent Hashem's name. Like Hashem Nichra Ni Nikra, I'm spelled Yud Kei Vav Kei, but I'm pronounced Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That was tradition. Two yuds. All of a sudden, I don't know why. all of a sudden, in this generation, it's hard to find a new siddur that's printed with 2 yuds. I would challenge you, go to the swarm store, try to find a siddur that has 2 yuds, a new siddur today that has 2 yuds. They almost don't exist. For some reason, all the printers today have followed the style, the Shiloh siddur. They still print the Shiloh siddur. Our school put them out of business also. Our school, they will have their own Shiloh siddur, the children's siddur. So I don't know. I don't know, but we have no problem. I was wondering, maybe the reason why traditionally you had 2 yuds, Kedushas Hashem. It wasn't a matter of that the printers.
People to read the letters.
Okay, but maybe it's more than that. Anyway, maybe it's more. There's a certain Kedusha. You don't just want to be mezalzel in Hashem's name, so you actually put 2 yuds. But today, it does not appear that that is a problem.
The
Shiloh, yeah, I know. We're talking about the Shiloh. The Shiloh is almost.
And we got the two of the art scroll, Yud and
Yud Kevav. Art scroll, Yud Kevav. Okay.
Yeah.
Art does not have in there. But the Shiloh. The problem is the Shiloh. It's not today as popular as it was. I grew up with the Shiloh. Every child, we didn't have in those days sitter parties. Probably everyone here has a grandchild at a sitter party, right? You go to a sitter party. So what sitter do they give your grandchildren? Did you take notice? Probably 90% of the yeshivas give them the art scroll children's sitter, which is basically a copy of the Shiloh sitter with big letters and numbers on the side. It's just a same exact. And then they have others. They have others which are very nice.
When I was a kid, they used to give out the Shmuel Chadash. You had that other one that had the numbers on the lines.
Tikkun Meir.
Tikkun Meir is an adult sitter.
That was the main sitter.
That's for adults.
That was a shul sitter.
That's a shul sitter. That was for adults. But for children, they give big letters with the aleph base and numbers. Let's now read line 10, line number 15. Children traditionally always receive the Shiloh sitter. About 15 years ago, our school came along and they said, we're going to make our own Shiloh sitter. Not Shiloh. And they did a beautiful, beautiful job. Everything is nice and big and arranged, just like the Shiloh sitter, but even nicer to a certain, if nicer print and nicer binding and so on and so forth. And they dominated the market. But not only them, a lot of other people came along, other companies came along and also published some very beautiful sitter design specifically for children. And I've seen them around. You go around, you've seen the children's sitter. Not only, but Shiloh you don't see too much anymore. In the shuls, in the old shuls, you go and you find on the shelf an old Shiloh sitter, and there it has Yud Yud. But probably Tikkun Meir also has Yud Yud, I imagine. The Tikkun Meir sitter
probably
has Yud Yud. But Tikkun Meir today is.
Forget it.
You don't see it. You can get it, but you don't. It's not.
It's old fashioned.
Why is it? But then the Kol Yaakov, what are the Kol Yaakov sitter?
Yeah, those have a lot of time.
The Kol Yaakov has been the old Kol Yaakov is out of print for sure. But they redone the Kol Yaakov sitter. They've republished. What do they have? Yud Yud? Probably not. They probably have Yud Kevavke by now. I don't know. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Kaidem sheyikane yishichnas l'tzaycham. Okay, just thing I want to call from memory. Saying we mentioned they are kissing children. Okay, we mentioned over here that you're not to kiss your children the Beis HaKnesses.
Right.
Do we finish all of the things over here? What Vav refers to, Shabbat, that's later. Kissing children the Beis HaKnesses. What about kissing the Rav? So
Between the lawyers would walk around and kiss congregants.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
what?
Did you say
something? I didn't say something.
Okay, so it's brought down by us, by the Misnagdim in this room. You're not going to see this, but if you go to the Sardim, they kiss on the hands.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Research has shown that wasn't a Jewish custom.
Kissing on the hands. Really?
Because that's where it originated.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. Not a Jewish custom. Yeah.
But it's practiced ad hayom hazeh.
But the Sardim would not expose them.
No, but there's a Gemara. He quotes the Gemara that Rav Nachman he would kiss his sisters. Abay Chudai, the Gemara has a whole discussion. Yes. So we do find in the Gemara that there was kissing taking place on the hands and other parts of the body. So you do find in the Gemara that there was it was done.
Right.
it was done. Okay, maybe later it was not by Jews. The Goyim started doing it again. Doing, but you do find the source for kissing. So the question is, Svarim do that until the Ad Hayom Hazeh, that when after davening is over, the children kiss their parents' hands. And when you get your Svarim, and when you get an Aliyah, you also you kiss every Svarim. They kiss your hand, or they kiss their hand. You touch your hand, they kiss their hand, or they kiss your hand. So are you allowed to do this in the Beis HaKnesses? Is official halacha not allowed to kiss your children? The answer is yes. There are two different types of kisses. There's a kiss of love and a kiss of respect. A kiss of love is forbidden. Kissing children is a kiss of love. When a child, by the Sfardim, kisses the hand of their father when davening is over, that's not a kiss of love. That's considered halach kiss of respect. When the Sfardi will kiss the hand of the congregant when he gets the aliyah, does the kibbutz, they kiss his hand, that's a kiss of respect, and that is 100% mutar. So you have occasion to go to a Sfardic shul and you kiss their hands, it's permitted, there's no concern whatsoever. Okay, the other things, maybe we'll come to later on, I'll come back, some of the things are jotted down. Let's go to halacha base. Kodim shiichnas lebedi l'saycham, yikaneach es hatit ve'al raglav. Baruch Hashem, we live in very clean, affluent society where this is not an issue. One time, before you go to the synagogue, you remove the tit, the clay, the mud from your feet. Don't bring the mud into the shul. The ashkiach shelo yehe olav loy al begadav shom lichol kishnapi upon your body, upon your anything that's not clean. Next, mutur loroik bohem. You're allowed to spit in the Beis HaKnesses. Ancient, they have spittoons. Today, you're not going to find the shul that has a spittoon. You can find the shul spittoon today. Can you find the shul today?
No, the old shul. I had a job laying in it.
Yeah.
The old shoes on the lower east side.
Yes,
we have one on each side of the balema.
Yeah, yeah. A spittoon. They have it's mutu lorik bohem ach yishav shef teich bragov. Now here the Kitzchuk Nach says in his time they weren't so sophisticated to have a spittoon. They would spit on the floor. So when you spit on the floor, it's not pleasant, so you're supposed to rub it with your feet. Rub the spit with your feet. Different, yeah.
You'll still see people doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
By Elena.
Absolutely.
What? Shehem mishtachim lehevel vorek. Hevel begamatria Yeshu, right? There's a whole city of Yeshu, and then you spit in reference to Yeshu, and then you rub your feet on the spit. Okay. Today we live in a different world. It's
not a bar of buck, you'll still see.
But they have all these nice marble floors. Look at Frankel's, they have these ceramic tiles. It's not going to go well spinning on a ceramic tile. Nice ceramic tiles. Okay. There's another difference. In ancient times, I was reading about Yaakov Yosef to Rakefet. Rabbi Rakefet, very still giving. She was talking about Yaakov Yosef. He taught the difference between the old generation. He gives two differences between the old generation and the European generation and the Americans. In Europe, Bristol, spitting was the norm. Every shul had a spittoon that was like accepted. Handkerchief. What was a handkerchief? So in America, you have a nice little handkerchief, perfect, and you can tuck it into your pocket, and it's small, and it's clean, and it's colored, designer. In Europe, you know what a handkerchief was? It was a shmata.
Yeah.
You wrapped it around, it was massive, and it was dirty, and it was rough, and crass, and you wrapped it around your neck. And when you blew your nose, you took it around your neck and you blew your nose. It was something which the Americans, they, just like today, if we would go to a show, you would see a spittoon, you'd be disgusted. Okay, that's how we grew up. We're not... Around their neck. Whole shell of carrot. Because they didn't have... See, you said, tell us what person said. You carry it, you read the old song, carrying it around your neck. What? I ask a child, a handkerchief around your neck? Handkerchief! They're used to a handkerchief. Maybe they go to a wedding and they're by the Messiah has a handkerchief. It's a little thing. A little, so how big is it? It's folded nicely. It's decorative. It's nothing more than style, design. It's not... Ein lanu reshus lehishtamesh bohem. Ella leroyslan bilvat. Really? That's what it is. When was the last time you used a handkerchief to wipe, to blow your nose? You use tissues to blow your nose. You don't use a handkerchief. What?
No, I didn't have tissues. My wife told me that the Beis Yaakov in Williamsburg, they had a library.
Yeah.
And they had a reference section. And in the reference section, they had the pasuk Ein Lanu Rishon.
L'shtam El Liris and Luvat. That's what a handkerchief is today. So Rabbi Rakefet, he mentions that this was one of the things which turned off the public from the first chief rabbi of New York, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, is when he gave a drasha, and in the middle of the drasha, he took out his handkerchief and he blew his nose. So it wasn't so much blowing his nose, wiping his nose. Every rabbi can do that if you do it properly today, it'll be done on the side with the tissue. But he took out this colored shmata, which was this was accepted in Europe. That's the way. This was the way it was done. It wasn't anything. But in America, it was different, and that he didn't relate. He was from the old timers, so he didn't understand. In America, you don't do it. It's different in America. So that is just another idea. These halachas we don't really relate to because we don't live in these times. Let's see Gimel. This is a very important halacha. You're not allowed to abuse the Beis HaKnesses. One more halacha, we'll stop. You're not allowed to abuse the Beis HaKnesses to use it. If it's raining outside, you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaKnesses to shelter yourself from the heat. It's very hot outside. It's a bus stop, and you want to come inside to cool off. Forbidden. Not in the summertime to take shelter from the heat. Let's say you need to come to the base to call your friend. This is before the time. Can you imagine? The kids of Shulchan Aruch didn't have a cell phone. Can you imagine such a thing? Try to explain this to someone today in 8th grade. He didn't have a cell phone? What? Was such a world? Can it be such a thing? So you have to go into the Beis HaKnesses. Yikarnes v'yikar sham eizep sukim. So here's the halacha. Everyone, you remember seeing this? When you have to come and sit down and read a few psukim. Or yoymer eizep tefila. Or sheyishma me'achedim eizep limud. Or listen to what someone is saying and learning. Or l'chol ha'pachos. If you can't do any of the above, you don't have enough, you're not in a frame of mind where you can daven, or you can say a few psukim, or listen, at least sit there. Ashrei yoyshvei ve'secha, literally be shoy the Beis HaKnesses ve'shamat ki gam hayeshiva bohem hi mitzvah. Even sitting in the Beis HaKnesses, nothing more than that is considered a mitzvah. Ve'achar kach yikra es chaveru, and you do this after. Interesting. The average person that you see does the wrong order. Most of the time, you go into the Beis HaKnesses, you need someone, so you go in. Oh, where is he? Here he is. I gotta tell you something very important. You tell him. And then, oh, I don't want to abuse the Beis HaKnesses, so I'll sit down for 10 seconds. No, it says here first you come into the Beis HaKnesses, you sit down for 10 seconds. And then you go over to your friend and tell your friend, I have an important message to tell you. But to use the Beis HaKnesses to shelter him, is forbidden. What about going to the Beis HaKnesses? Very common. People are passing by and they have an emergency. They need to go to the Beis HaKnesses. They need to go to the bathroom. And the only bathroom, local bathroom, is the Beis HaKnesses. This happened all the time. We used to give a shiur in the shul. And people always would come in from the outside. Is there a bathroom here? And they would use a shul. So are you allowed to do so? So obviously, technically not. However, an emergency is an emergency. So certainly, you have an emergency, you have no choice. And also, today, we're extremely lenient because all of our Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, are built al tenai. They're built on, they're conditional, their Kedusha is not 100% because it's very difficult for us to be nizer in the full Kedusha. Therefore, we are much more lenient today in these matters. If it's very hot outside, so it's not the end of the world in today's day and age to come into a shul and go into the lobby of a shul. It's not the actual sanctuary when you go into the shul's lobby. And even though it's still part of a shul, it's not the end of the world. If you're waiting for the bus outside, you see people do it over here all the time. And the shul obviously doesn't want people to do that over here because who knows who can walk in. You'd have over here, but let's say you have one of the shul's members. They're waiting for the bus outside and it's a very cold day and they want to wait in the lobby of the shul. So technically, it says here that it's awesome, but it's not really awesome because first, that's the lobby, that's not the sanctuary, and number two, all of our batei knesios today are built al tenai because we're not on a level today where we can hold ourselves to such high sanctity. We eat, we talk, we do all different types of things. So we're not so machmir. All the poskim say we're not so machmir on these halachas, but it's still an ideal. lechatchila, if you have a choice, don't be mezalzel in the Beis HaKnesses.
The lobby has the
same thing. The lobby is part of the shul. Lechatchila, it's not ideal. It's not ideal. But you should not be machmir. Especially if your health is at risk. That's for sure. But even if it's not at risk, we're not. That's an important halacha today. Yeah. They what?
They don't sell washcloths.
Why not?
They don't have anything.
Oh. A washcloth?
You have to buy a hand towel.
Right.
Yes, let's
we
go.
Asked at a hotel with someone. They didn't know what we were talking about. My wife was like, we ended up buying.
I wanted to.